Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we have opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now, Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to have a lesson in sacred history today. That's basically what Revelation 12 is all about. It really summarizes this conflict, you know, the evil that's in the world, the purposes of evil. And yet in the midst of this, the plan of God that can never be thwarted, can never be deterred. And we see that in some amazing pictures, don't we, Richard?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got dragons, and we've got women giving birth, and we've got water being poured out of the dragon's mouth and trying to overwhelm the woman. And I mean, there's... You know, there's drama, there's you know, there's battles, there's all kinds of stuff going on here. And I think one of the things that happens so often is that when we see all of these characters and the descriptions of these characters, the first thing everybody does is say, well, I wonder what the 10 horns and 7 heads meant. And yeah, there can be some good stuff there, but so often we miss the forest for the trees. And there is, again, I mean, the overwhelming theme, we come back to it again and again and again. What does this story, this history, tell us about Jesus? And secondarily, what does it say about how Jesus and God take care of his own? In spite of everything that that Satan and his minions want to do to us.
Yes, indeed. Sin kind of won a battle.
Yes.
Right at the beginning of mankind. Mm-hmm. You know, our history started with a loss, a significant loss that placed us all under the bondage of sin and death. And Satan was in control of that plan. He was the architect and planner of that, and he executed it rather flawlessly there in the garden. But it has had incredible consequences throughout our history. And yet, in the midst of that narrative, there's this other narrative, the story of God is given to us in Christ Jesus. And here in chapter 12, we see that story really summarized quite beautifully. And we also see at the end, Jesus wins, and we win. And that's our hope. That's why this chapter, I think, is so vitally important. We're introduced to a woman who gives birth to a child. You know, some would say, well, that's Mary. That's talking about Mary. And, others would say, well, that's the church of Jesus Christ. I think in context, it's just, as you would say, the covenant people of God.
Yeah.
That was the people of Israel. We know that through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Judah, all the way down through the genealogies came Christ.
Yes.
That was the bloodline, and God protected that bloodline, and that's much of the story of the Old Testament. But Christ came into being. You know, he inhabited that body that had been prepared for him, and he came to execute the plan of God to rescue man. And so we see this baby being born, and you know, right at the birth, Satan was doing everything in his power to stop that. I mean, at 2 years of age, Herod was giving the order to kill all male babies 2 years and under in that particular region where Jesus was born. And there was this daring escape by Mary and Joseph with Jesus down into Egypt, and we see all that, and we see a little bit of this. And then once Jesus does his work through his death, burial, and resurrection, there's this new covenant people of God, some from the old and many from outside of that old that have been grafted in. And so we have this people of God called the church, and we see that Satan does everything in his power to persecute the church. And that's what we're experiencing today. And some places of the world are experiencing it more intensely than other places of the world. Here in the United States, we have it rather good right now, and we as believers have had it rather good for our 200-plus year history. But that's not the case for believers in China and Pakistan and some of those places. They're being persecuted immensely. Well, who's the author of that? Satan himself. And we see that story, you know, from beginning to end being told in this chapter. And that's why it's just one of those, you know, high peak chapters in the Word of God, because we see Jesus, we see the victory that he has. I love the passage starting in verse 10. It has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. The accuser of our brothers, he's been thrown down to earth. We see this victory. They've defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And it all centers on the victory that Christ secured for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And again, it underscores this theme of assurance that flows through the book of Revelation from start to finish.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're struggling with your assurance of salvation, you want to see the victory of Christ, you need to know this is a chapter to read. And not just skim through it, but really read it. Ponder the words. And let this great epic story of God's rescue of you really soak in deeply and anchor you to the foundation of Jesus Christ himself.
Absolutely. And that's all part of Basic Gospel, and you're listening to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to join us at 1-800-677-9377 if you want to discuss something about the Revelation. A good opportunity right now. If you have a personal issue or a Bible question, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377. We've opened the lines for you. Guys, a question from Terry, who writes to us from Arizona. If the church is the body of Christian believers, why are the seven churches of Asia Minor told to repent? I thought once we were in Christ, we didn't have to repent. Once we come into the light, we will always be in the light. Please comment on this. This is from Terry in Arizona.
That's a great question, isn't
yes,
it, Richard?
It is.
The message to the seven churches, when you kind of cobble them together, becomes a single message to the church at large. And it gives different things that the church experiences, attitudes. You know, we get caught up in, you know, trying to rid the world of evil, to stamp out sin, just stomp it in the ground where it's non-existence. We get so caught up in that that we forget what the gospel is all about, and that's relationship with Jesus Christ. That is knowing him and being in his presence and sensing his presence in us. So there's a message to the Ephesian church. I have this against you. You've lost your first love. Come back. Change your thinking. Take hold of this gospel message and realize what it really is, and enjoy this relationship you have with Christ. The message to the other churches were similar. You've lost hold of something. And I want you to realize what the priority of the gospel is. And so repentance is just a change of mind, change of belief system. And I think in this case, it's a message to the church to get back to priority one as far as the gospel is concerned.
Yes. Yes. An individual member of God's church repents once. That's the salvation experience. But there is no telling what groups of people, what kinds of problems these groups of people can get into and as a group need to repent of. That's not a salvation issue. That is an issue of humans being humans. And the grace of God is so powerful that he could come to us as members of churches that have various characteristics and say, you know, you've got this wrong. I still love you. Those of you who are saved know how much I love you. But as a group, you've gotten off track, and there's the Holy Spirit's job to bring us back, to point us to Jesus. And at any time in there, if there is somebody who is a, quote, a member of a church without being a member of the body of Christ, there is always the chance to turn from where you're going and turn to Jesus and get saved. So it's not inconsistent at all, and in fact, it's just another example of God's grace and mercy.
Yes, indeed. We were talking yesterday, and Bob, you attended a seminar a number of years ago, and after you went to it, went home and threw away your rock and roll record collection.
Yeah, we're still weeping about that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right.
But the seminar was basically focused on the do's and don'ts. And if you get rid of these things, that's going to make you clean before God. That's going to make you pure before God. And it's a wrong message. It's not the message of the gospel, because it's not about what you do for God. It's about what he did for you in Christ Jesus. That's the whole message. So, you know, a message to the church, there's a whole bunch of people that were getting on that train and going in their houses and getting rid of all the sinful stuff, quote, yeah, sinful stuff, in hopes of being made clean as a result of that act. We're only cleansed through the blood of the Lamb. So what would the message be? Repent of that. You don't have what it takes to make yourself clean before God. Only Jesus can do that, and he did it through his shed blood. His shed blood has made you holy once and for all. His shed blood has sanctified you, set you apart. His shed blood has cleansed you once and for all. Come back to that truth. And so you would say, yeah, I'm going to turn away from, you know, all the things that I'm trying to do to make myself holy and rest in what Jesus has accomplished. That's a great message. And that turning away from all the things that you were doing and turning to Jesus, that would be a form of repentance. Because yes, that's what that word means. And so that's what the message to the churches is all about. You've grabbed hold of something that is not priority one as far as the gospel is concerned. You've diverted your focus from Christ to what you're doing, to the evils in the world, to whatever it might be. I want you to let go of that, turn away from it, and turn toward Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel Open Lines and Time on the Clock. The number 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you folks? Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Vincent in Staten Island, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you today.
Yes, definitely. I just want to say, listen to you guys' show all the time. You guys are great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We always appreciate encouraging words, so thanks for making our day, my friend.
Okay, you got it. My question is, I've been a Christian for some time now, and when we repent and we ask God to forgive us for our sins and we receive salvation. Question is, every time we fall when we're a Christian, do we have to ask for forgiveness for each individual sin? Because once our sins are forgiven through salvation once and for all. So do we have to keep asking for forgiveness every time we sin individually?
Well, let me read a verse, Vincent, and then I'm going to redirect the question back to you, okay? And in light of this verse, how would you answer it? Hebrews 9, verse 22, and this is a significant verse in the Word of God. It is a truth that's foundational, and if we really understand what it's saying, it will help us answer questions like this. So here is the verse, Hebrews 9, 22. In fact, okay, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So, Vincent, if you have a sin today that is not forgiven and it needs to be forgiven, what would have to happen for that sin to be forgiven?
The blood of Jesus.
Blood would have to be shed. So
right.
Did he shed his blood?
Yeah, once and for all.
Once and for all. Is he ever going to shed it again?
No, sir.
So if you're a believer, are your sins forgiven? or not?
Yes, sir.
They're forgiven. So does it make sense to ask for something that you already have?
Nope.
Seemed pretty logical, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I don't remember what book in the Bible this was, but it says every time, you know, we sin, even though we're believers, we're supposed to confess to our brothers, and we can talk about it and be held accountable and stuff. So that's why it kind of confused me, if, you know, if we have to confess.
Well, Vincent, it never says to join an accountability group and share all your sins with the members of that group. That's not what the Bible says. The passage that you're referring to is in the book of James, and it does say there, confess your sins one to another, but there's context there. And the context is there's a split, there's fighting and quarreling that is happening among the brothers in Christ. And so to bring healing, we say, hey, we're gonna stop fighting, and the way we're gonna do that, we're gonna look at ourselves and bring our own sins out on the table. We're gonna confess them one to another. Here's the reason we're fighting, because I want my way. And somebody's gonna say, well, no, here's the reason we're fighting, because I want my way. And we're gonna confess those, and we're gonna realize, well, my way isn't best, and your way isn't best. We need to seek the Lord's way. And when we seek the Lord's way, we're going to experience healing in those relationships. We're going to be reconciled and brought back together to fully live out who we are as brothers in Christ. So that's why he tells us to confess one to another, because we've done something to cause harm to someone else, and we want that to be brought back into harmony. We want to do whatever we can to heal that wound so that we can go forward stronger as brothers and sisters in Christ. But as far as your relationship with the Lord, you have received forgiveness of sins, all sins, past, present, and future. That frees you to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I thank you for the forgiveness that I have in Christ. I thank you that he shed his blood once and for all. Now, by your Spirit, direct me on how to handle this situation, because my act of sin caused harm to another individual, and I need to trust you to know what to do so that I can be reconciled back to that brother.
Spiritual wisdom.
Does that make sense to you, Vincent?
Yes, sir. You said that was Hebrews 9:22?
Hebrews 9:22. Underline it, star it, circle it, highlight it, memorize it, share it with everybody you know.
Sounds good, brother. Thank you. Amen.
You're welcome, Vincent.
Thanks, Vincent.
Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet that we're offering this month, Our Guaranteed Future, just to say thanks for being a part of the broadcast today.
Thanks, brother.
You hold the line. Great question, Vincent.
Yes, indeed. And of course, that booklet is available to any of our listeners who would like to make a contribution to the ongoing support of Basic Gospel. And you can do that by going to basicgospel.net, and we'll send you a copy of Our Guaranteed Future. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And for a generous gift of $50 or more, you'll receive both a booklet and our 8-CD series called Revelation, It's No Mystery. It's by Richard Piper, and all you need to do, again, is visit Basic Gospel. There's a prominent link right on the homepage there, basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. For a gift of any amount, or if you'd like to give a gift of $50 or more, you get both the booklet and the 8-CD series.
It's a wonderful, wonderful resource. Richard is uniquely qualified to bring these messages to you. He's had quite a history with the book of Revelation in the last 5-10 years. It began to look at it through the lens of the new covenant, the lens of this gospel. And you saw things in there you've never seen before.
Yeah, and all of the things I thought I saw turned out not to be there.
That's exactly right.
So amazing.
What did it do in your life? revisiting it through a different lens, looking at it through a different lens.
It removed all fear of the future, absolutely every bit of fear of the future that I was living under. I had discovered that I was a forgiven person and that God loved me and that his spirit was indwelling me. And that, you know, I said, well, that's great for today, but, you know, out there, it's going to be bad. And God finally said, no, you got to read about out there and see that I'm already there, I'm already victorious, and you can apply that to your life today. And it changed everything.
So if you want rock-solid confidence about your future in Christ, if you want the assurance of your salvation that you've always longed for, this is a wonderful, wonderful resource. Take advantage of it. And in getting a resource that will minister to you, you will be ministering to others. So take advantage of this wonderful win-win opportunity. Well, let's go to Trish in Georgetown, Indiana, listening to us on WBRI. Hi, Trish.
Hey, how are you all today?
Well, doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you. You're actually close to Louisville, great, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Well, welcome.
Yesterday, I always am driving in traffic when I talk to you. So my question is this. Yesterday, you said that when Jesus comes and gets us, the ones that are left behind, we all are going to get new bodies. Is that correct?
That is correct. If we're here, okay, when Christ returns, those right, that have already gone to be with him, they're going to come mm-hmm, back, and then we're going to go, and it says we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It's mm-hmm, when, at Christ's return, there's this resurrection of the bodies,
correct,
when, you know, the immortality is going to be put on the mortal, going to replace that. And we're going to have bodies that will live forever. That's the great hope of the gospel. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, his body was raised from the dead, we're going to have new bodies as well. And his body is the pattern for that. His body is the example, the first fruit, so to speak. We're going to follow in resurrection. We've already been raised spiritually, so our spirits mm-hmm, have been born again. There's going to be a time when our bodies will match that, and everything will be made new.
Well, my question was, and I think you already answered that, was why? Why are we going to have new bodies when we already have a soul?
Well, because God made us as a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And so his okay, salvation affects all three parts. So the first part is spiritual. The second mm-hmm, the second part is the saving of the souls. That's the renewing of the mind. And then the body, right, that's going to be changed. So that's the complete salvation okay, that we have in Christ. Well, thanks for your call,
awesome,
Trish. We sure appreciate it. Great question today.
Yes, indeed. And thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you like what you've heard, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Please keep in mind also that your support keeps Basic Gospel on the air, and we need your help at this particular time. And to thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, we're going to send you the booklet we've been talking about, Our Guaranteed Future. And if you can make a generous donation of $50 or more, then you'll receive the booklet and the 8 message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. It's a great way to help keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time unravel the mystery of the Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make the donation of your choice, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're at the website, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join the email list, and you'll receive the day-by-day preview of each day's look at the Revelation. Just click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you'll be ready for tomorrow's study. If you're joining the study in progress, you can also access the previous broadcasts from the archive at our website, basicgospel.net. So, until tomorrow at the same time, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the entire ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again for another live edition of Basic Gospel.